Name is a name that is more than just an average name. It is a name that means our hope and our salvation. And God, I pray that as we study that even tonight, realizing that we can't put justice to the worthiness of your name, but yet, Father, we sing it and, Father, we study about it. And God, I pray that our gratitude is shown through the lives that we live. And Father, we just lift it to you tonight. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for loving us. But Father, we also thank you for using us in the ministry that you have planned. And Father, we all have a journey. As we walk that journey, I pray that you give us the wisdom, the strength, and the understanding that is needed to just simply serve you and serve you well. God, we just thank you in your son's name. Amen. All righty, appreciate that. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. We're going to pull out haven't landed a book yet to continue to study through, so we're going to just keep pulling messages and having different understandings through the Word of God. But, you know, we live in a world where sometimes we don't know what difference we make. We live in a world where at times it doesn't even seem like we make a difference because of the craziness that goes on around us. But we find here the apostles. And we're going to start at 17 and following, and we realize that at this point in the early stages of the church, they weren't well liked. In fact, they weren't liked at all because of the message that they were giving brought new. It brought change. And, you know, a lot of times we really bust on the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and rightfully so. They were so stuck in the ritual of religion that they missed the Messiah of the religion. And today, you will find that in many times you talk. You talk to individuals, you'll see whether they're believing in a religion or a relationship, whether they're believing in the rituals of what they're supposed to do, or they're believing in a relationship that's only by grace. And so when you go out in the world and you begin to talk about these things, what's interesting is the difference between the two is becoming more and more relevant. When they see the religion, when you see the religion and they have the rituals, and what that does is a lot of people think that they can live the life they want to live as long as they believe in the religion of God. And so as a Christian, we need to understand that there is a relationship with Christ, which means there is a changed life. It's we can't live the life we want, and we can't do all the things we want to do and still have that title of God's children. And so it's amazing to me to talk to people every day and to listen to their stories and to listen to the journey they're on and all the struggles they're going through. And, well, you know, what are you resting your hope in? And that's a statement I make every day, 100 times a day. What are you resting your hope in? Well, you know, my religion teaches, and right there I know, they're not relationship with Christ. And so I thought it interesting as we see this, the same thing is going on in the apostles' life, because we find in verse 17 that after they basically preached a message and were talking about it, it says in verse 17 that the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with indignation. That word there, indignation, could be translated zealous or zeal. And there's a positive zealous and there's a negative. This is a negative one. They were so fired up. They were so ticked off at what they were hearing that it stirred up within them a zeal to go after these men. So it was in a negative side. And in verse 18, it says, and they lay their hands on the apostles and they put them in a common prison. Interesting enough, we talked a while ago about the but God, okay? The but God moments in our life. And they're about ready to have one of those. And I love studying them because you and I will live life, we'll face life, we face tragedy. Well, listen, we live in a broken world, we're going to get hit, right? We're going to get hit with the brokenness. God's never promised us that smooth, easy road, but he's promised to be there to carry us and promised to be walking with us through all our brokenness. And that's what we have that the world doesn't have. So it's not about the religion and the rituals. It's about the relationship with Christ that allows us that hope to know that we're never forsaken. We're never alone. And that's huge. Because in this moment, these men were now put into prison. And the but God moment comes in verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Again, the words of this life is talking about the gospel message. I find this quite interesting because they're in prison for doing what he released them from prison to go and do. Did you follow that? I mean, they're in a world that is not hearing. They're in a world that is not agreeing. And so as they were speaking, they were so upset at them, they took them and put them in prison. And the angel of the Lord said, now, here's what's going to happen. He came, he released them. He said, now go do it again. Go preach. Go teach the gospel message. And I'm that's to me, that's like, wow, I made it through this once. God, are you going to do that again for me? Every time I preach the message or every time I do this and I get in prison, God, are you going to come release me that night? Are you going to let me out? And then you go back to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, when he was early, not even 2 years of ministry, and he was put in prison, and his head was going to be served on a platter, and he cried out to God. It says, God, I'm here. You know, remember me. I'm over here. And God says, no. John died. God doesn't always answer every time the same and every time the same way. And why is that? Well, the only answer we have is because he's God. His ways aren't our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher. They're in heaven. And so when you see this, a lot of times we think that God is going to work the same way every time. Here, the apostles, when they were in prison, angel of the Lord came to them, had that but God moment, changed everything. But what it did, you need to follow through with the text. What did that moment do to the apostles? Knowing that their early church was just beginning, knowing that they were told to preach the gospel message, knowing that there was going to be many people against them, in fact, all of them except John were martyred for their faith. And so when you know the end of the story, it's kind of interesting that here they didn't know they were going to be martyred. They didn't know what tomorrow would hold, just like us. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what's going to go on in our world. We don't know what it's going to cost us to share Christ to the world around us. We have no idea what it'll cost us. But what we do know is the same thing that they're experiencing here. They are commissioned again in verse 20. Go stand and speak in the temple. Go stand and speak. Those are three things that we need to implement in our life. Because sometimes we'll go, but we don't say nothing. And sometimes we'll go stand, but then we'll back off. Sometimes we just don't say any word at all. And he said, listen, I want you to go right back into the heart of it, right back into the front line of ministry. I want you to go. I want you to stand with them. And I want you to speak the truth. That is a commission that you and I have. That's something you and I are told to do every day of our life. Why does God still leave us here? Why are we still here? So that we may go, we may stand, and we may speak the truth of the Word of God. So now these guys are coming off of, okay, I'll go do that. Because I know that if I'm in trouble, God's got my back. How do they know that? He just got him out of prison. And so, interesting enough, as you read down through verse 21, and when they had heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. There is no hesitation in these guys. When they heard, what did they hear? Go stand and speak. They entered into the temple when? Early in the morning and taught. They didn't like scope out to see how many people were there. Maybe they could sit back and say, well, you know, maybe some of the Sadducees won't be there and we can get away with it. They just did exactly what they were asked to do. Now, realizing in ministry today and in Christian lives today, do you see this kind of obedience in Christians today? I struggle with that. We don't have that immediate obedience, that immediate, listen, if God's calling me to do, I'm going to go do this. If God's calling me, I'm gonna walk. And we think of Allie and Ronald, and we think of all the missionaries. At one point in time in their life, they got a call like this. At one point in time in their life, they were said, listen, I need you to go. And if you know the whole, Allie's whole story, some of you might, some of you may not, but she actually, and their whole family went over on a missions trip with my sister and her, with Marty. And while Allie was this big on a missions trip, she knew one day God would put her back in Honduras. And all her teen life, all that she went through with her back and all the tumors and all the issues, and she still held that to her heart, to where she went to Argentina, to Word of Life, and met Ronald, and promised to go back to Honduras. You see, that calling in our lives is something that we need to respond to. And the thing is, we're probably not going to be called to go overseas, right? Not that you couldn't be, but we're probably not going to go overseas. We're not going to go places, but God's calling us to step across the street. God's calling us to do all kinds of things. And so when we see the apostles, again, they put in prison. The angel said, go, stand, speak. They went early in the morning and they taught. Halfway through verse 21, but the high priest came and they that were with them and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. What's interesting is they were going to go get them and bring them out because now they wanted to question them. They wanted to quiz them. And so they were going to the prison to get them out, interesting enough. And but when the officers in verse 22 came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people. Oh, isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I'm telling you what, they were going to go do it man's way, and God was one step ahead of them. Listen, we never, ever, ever have to doubt that God is not still working and planning and making sure things happen. And sometimes we don't understand that because sometimes what is happening, we don't agree with. But God is always working. He's always working for what? The good. Romans 8:28. We just don't see the good at times. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. These gentlemen, as their ministry went further, they're going to see where it wasn't very good because they were martyred for their faith. But what we need to do is this moment, we now see God doing having a God moment in their lives. And now we see man planning and man wanting to question them and bring them in. And interesting, when it says in verse 24 that all the priests heard these things, they doubted or they questioned of them whereunto this would grow. How are we going to stop this one? Do you realize if this gets out, like, how did they get out? The guards were there, the prison. They just, again, as we see in verse 19, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. However that worked, it worked. However God does that, God has his own way of doing things. But we now see God's way, man's way, and a lot of times in our life, what we see and how we want to make it work, they conflict. It conflicts with what God's plan is for our life, and then we don't understand it. We question it. We wonder, God, what are you doing? God, why am I going through this? God, why is this all happening to me? And all along, we've got to trust the God that is working the good. We can't see good in all of that. I really think the good that God is working in our everyday life is the but God moments. If we would not go through things in life, we wouldn't appreciate those but God moments in our life. Because it would be easy, right? It'd be no problem. We wouldn't need God if we didn't have those days in our life. So we find them here, and again, they're going to go after them, as we see in verse 26. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. Okay, God is now working, because now these guys were made fools, but they brought them in very carefully, because they were afraid what the people would do to them. You see, the fear of man that you would normally think would be against the captain of the army or the captain of the prison or the Sadducees, who basically were the rulers, you think that fear that they had to share with Christ because they were in prison once for it, that fear of man would be greater. But look what God did. God allowed man to fear more because they were afraid of what the people would do to them. Because of what God just did. And I'll tell you what, if you and I live those moments in our life, it's amazing. It is so encouraging. It is so strengthening to see that we can do things. Why? Because God's behind it. And as we'll see that as we go through here. And it's interesting because verse 27 says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? Obviously, we know they're saying the name of Jesus Christ. They're not to be teaching in that. And simply as they continued to say that, they said, and behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intent to bring this man's blood upon us. We know that in the message that they gave, they blamed the Jews for hanging Christ on the cross. So not only are you preaching a different doctrine, not only are you preaching in Jerusalem when we told you not to, but now you're blaming us for it. All three of those statements were correct, weren't they? Every one of them was truth. They were still filling Jerusalem with the doctrine. They were still preaching Jesus Christ, and they were blaming the Jews for putting him on the cross. And so when they say all these things, and again, like they answered, of course, Peter, I love the guy, he answers. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hung on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. In their answer, they began to be more bold. And why? Because they're just coming off a but God moment. And those moments in our life that God has those, I call them the divine time, when God sets you in the right place, when there's people in the right place, when you're talking in the right place, or all of a sudden you're just going about your business, and then there's a situation that you can help be a part of. And man, those are God's divine times in our life. And those moments, what they do is they strengthen you and they encourage you to continue to teach and to continue to be about God's business. And so we need to look for those moments in our life. No matter what we're going through, no matter how good, how hard. And I remember Sue's testimony even in the hospital in Pittsburgh about the men, the guys that were around and the witnessing that was going on. Listen, God places us in places to share Christ to people that we would never see any other way. Is it hard going through those times? Absolutely. Is it something you would want to sign up for? No, not at all. But I'm going to tell you what, when God puts you in those divine times, it strengthens you. You see your God in a different way. You see your God in a different light. And you want to do things for your God. These men, when they were asked that question, did we not tell you to stop? Their answer was, yeah, we're going to obey God. We're not going to obey you. You see, it's interesting how God had that moment in their life. And then man began to fear the men of God. Do you think people in our world today fear the men of God? Got to find the men of God first. But they don't fear them. Listen, the world does not fear the church. The world does not fear what the people of God could do with the power of God behind them. They don't fear. And it's getting worse and worse as we go down this road that God is allowing us to go down. And so when they answer that, it really spoke to me as I studied through this, because the first thing they said to them, yeah, you said so, but it's better for us to obey God than you. And I'm going to tell you, if we lived that every day in our life, would there be less fear about what man can do? They knew that man could put him in prison. These gentlemen who asked them could have them stoned and killed in the moment. But they didn't care. It's better to obey God than man. That is a very important lesson from their divine time moment with God. When the angel brought them out and told them to go stand, speak in the temple. So again, verse 33, and when they heard that they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. When you say something that cuts someone to the heart, they're not real happy. That cutting to the heart, and you know, that one thing, a little side note, we got to be careful of the words we use, because our words are what cut people to the heart. And those words cannot be taken back. Those words cannot be changed. Years later, those words will still bring back the memory of the cut to the heart. So what these gentlemen said is simply, they just totally denounced the authority of the Sadducees. They totally denounced what they asked them to do and said, we're not doing it. We're obeying God instead of man. Now that's a bold stand, because they were told to go. They were told to stand in the temple, but now they're standing before these men. And so when they were standing, they were still talking about Christ. They did exactly what God asked them to do. So we need to be careful that when we make that stand, we're doing it because God asked us to. We're doing it for the cause of Christ. Sometimes we'll make a stand because we have an opinion. You're on your own. You're in trouble when you're on your own. It's not about an opinion. This is about you doing exactly what you know God says I need to do. And so that's exactly what they did. But they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to slay them. And again, without this gentleman standing up, they would have died. They would have slayed them in that moment right there. But here comes God again. And God, in verse 34, there stood up one of the council of Pharisees, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Don't slay them. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourself what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up, Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. And what he's saying is, listen, guys, this isn't the first time somebody has done this. This isn't the first time somebody has come against us and has a group of men coming with them. But look what happened to them. He was slain, and they all scattered, and it all went away. Interesting enough, after verse 37, after this man rose up of Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. I want to tell you, there's a valuable lesson right there. There's an extremely valuable lesson. What's behind the reason you do what you do? What's the purpose you do what you do? Because if we're working in our own power, we're working with our own wisdom, we're working with our own abilities, it's not going to last long. And you know, there are some people that may be in your life that you're that maybe have offended you, have hurt you, had just cut you to heart. And the first instinct we have is what? I don't get mad, I get even. We want revenge. We want to be able to see and you know, but I'm convinced that if you just let them go, it'll come back around. Just let them go. And it will come back around, and they will either fall apart, or if God's in it, then there's a lesson to be learned. And so these men, okay, this man, it was a very smart man, because he's saying, listen, it ain't the first time. We gave two examples of two different men, two different times. They came, they rose up people against us, and now they're all gone. Don't kill these men, because in verse 38 is unbelievable, because for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. And I can't tell you how many churches you see today and how many pastors you see today and how many ministries you see today that you can tell is the work of men. You can tell that it, listen, God's gone. And the men are going up doing things, and the pulpits are being filled by women. The pulpits are being filled by women of the LGBT movement. Listen, God's pulpits are being desecrated by his word, not ours. And you wonder, God, how long will you put up with this? How long will you? And then we sit back and think, man alive, how in the world is this all going to happen? God, what are you doing? If it's of man, it will fall apart sooner or later. And I take that to my heart. Trust you, take it to your heart. My walk with God, if I do it on my own, I'm going to fail someday. My walk with God, if I start making decisions without my God, and it's the work of me, it's man, it's the work of my mind, my understanding, it's not going to work. And yet we have this paradigm shift in churches today to where it's about us. It's about the buildings. It's about raising up ministries. It's about doing, you know, who can be the biggest boy on the block. And it's all by men. And it will fail. That's an important verse to me in ministry. I trust support to you just as a Christian. How much of our lives do we truly give God the control of? How many decisions do we give the God the control of? Because if we continue, listen, I talk to Christians all the time. I talk to unsaved, I talk to Christians, and there are times I'd rather talk to the unsaved. Sorry, that's just the way it is. You know, because Christians tend to be more about doing it on their own than the unsaved. Because the unsaved don't know any better. That's all they know. And they want something different. They want something that's a change. And they still, Christians, just sometimes we've got the power of God. We've got the wisdom of God. We've got God wanting to control our life. And sometimes we just take it over. When we take over our life, expect it's going to fall. You're going to make the mistake. You're going to fold to something. You're going to say something you shouldn't have said. You're going to do it. Why? Because the scripture stands true. This man was very intellectually about the law, and he said, listen, if it is of man, it will come to naught. It will come to nothing. Let them go. Let them out there. Let them see what they do. But another God moment. But God again comes into it in verse 39. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily we be found even to fight against God. You see, that's what we need in America today, isn't it? That's what we need from God's kids today. That's what we need from our lives. If it be of God, you're crazy to think you're going to outdo it. They don't fear us anymore. They don't fear the church. They don't fear the movement. And boy, you know, you go back in the day and during the election, the conservative vote was huge. And they all wanted to say the right things and do the right things to get the conservative vote. Now I don't even know how wide and big the conservative is, let alone their vote. Because a lot of them are voting however fits their back pocket. A lot of them are voting however fits the best of the economy so that I can have a little bit more in my back pocket. It's interesting when you step back and think through the processes, think through what's going on in our world, and then we sit back and say, boy, I don't know why God's allowing this to happen. Really? It's because we are going on our own way too much. That verse 38 and 39 are really great understanding of conditional clauses. If man is going to do it, it's going to fall apart sooner or later. If God's going to do it, you're not going to overthrow it. You're not going to make it different. Now bring that into your personal life. If you're struggling, if things on your life aren't where they need to be and you're just struggling with some things in your life, give it to God. Because if God's in it, it's going to be okay. If God's in it, you're going to be victorious. But if man's running the show, it's not going to work. And that has, I think, extreme lesson to our personal lives. Because if we can't handle our own personal lives this way, how are we going to go out into the world and do it? How are we going to go stand and preach the gospel when we have a hard time letting that gospel change our lives and give us the strength we need? And just say, God, I don't understand this one. God, I don't know where this is going to go, but I'm going to trust you in the midst of it. God, just go do what you're going to do. See, it's the faithfulness, again, trusting the faith that we have in our God. That made all the difference in this context. That made everything right. When they simply said, least happily ye be found even to fight against God. I mean, what a statement. Do you think you're really going to be happy when you fight against God? And there are many times in my life and the journeys that I've been on and the hills and the bumps and the bruises and the valleys and all that stuff that I've argued with God and I did not agree with him. I mean, him and I would have a what for going on and I'd be doing all the talking and he'd be up there laughing. I couldn't see him, just saying. You know, because God knows how hard this is for us. God knows that we struggle with this. And God, when we go to him, God says, seek me and you will find me. Doesn't say how to seek him. Go mad, go angry, go upset, go not agreeing. But when you walk away, go like this. Because in verse 40, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Do you think that did anything? Verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And daily in the temple they taught again. Daily in the temple. That must not have been a very good beating. We had a message a long time ago here about the punch. The desire and the will has to be greater than the punch. And it talked about a boxer back in the day when promised his mother that he would never stop fighting. And a week or so before his title bout, she died. And he got in the ring, and I believe this man was fighting against, I don't know who he was fighting, George Foreman or somebody. He was fighting against a big name. And he was getting his clock clean, man. He was just getting it clean. Well, he survived through a round that almost took him out. And somewhere between that sitting on that chair and that bell for the next round, he remembered his promise to his mom. And his desire began to be stronger than the punches he was taking. And he went out the next round and knocked him out. He won the title bout. You see, this is what it means to have your desire greater than the punch. Because life sucks you in the gut sometimes. Life just knocks you off your foundations at times. But your desire to simply be counted worthy, that God is using you in that moment, is greater than any punch the world can throw at you, greater than anything the world can do to you. And we really need to live our life with that mindset. We really need to live our everyday like that. And so to me, it challenged me. And again, daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. What a testimony. What a testimony. But after all, these guys were special, right? These guys were like way above us. We'd never be able to do this. Listen, these are just plain, ordinary fishermen that the world said was not good enough to serve in the religious arena. And God said, yeah, you are. Follow me. Come and see. Come and see what I will do. I'm anxious because in my life, and I trust you're anxious in your life, every day you wake up and hear those words of Christ when he said to Andrew in the very beginning and John, come and see. And you wake up in the morning and you look to God and say, God, what do you have for me today? And he's just saying, come and see. Just come and see. And then you live out your day. You go through your day and you get your bumps and your bruises and you get all these things going on. And then you have a but God moment sometime through the day. And it's just like, wow. Doesn't matter how much it's tired you are, doesn't matter how much you're hurting, it doesn't matter anything else going on in your life. At that moment, you're like, I can't believe God counts me worthy to do what I do or worthy to be used by him in that moment. I'll tell you, it's uplifting, it's encouraging, and it's also contagious. When you're able to go through those times, and Wednesday night, Brady gave a testimony, and some of you were here, some of you were not here, and we had an opportunity that we were called down to a room, and as we went down there, just anxious and just, I just need somebody to pray for me. And so I started talking to this individual and we talked about a prayer that would really make a difference in her life. And talked about a journey and how everybody's on a journey. And she looked right at Brady and said, so what's your story? And he looked at me and he said, I said, tell your story. So he went on and told the story of why he was in a rehab, told a story of why he was where he was, said Christ made a difference in his life. And he said, you need to listen to this guy. You need to listen to the prayer that he wants you to pray. And you know, we led that girl to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, Brady, he could have flew home, man. He was so excited. And he sat there Wednesday night and said, it was life-changing. Man, that's awesome, isn't it? Ah, man, it's crazy. That's great. Why? It's simply because, listen, God time. It was a divine time, and he understood. And, man, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's exactly what these men were facing. The world says you can't do that. The world says, no, you can't talk about Christ. The world says we're not going to allow. The world's going to tell us to shut up. It really will. It already has started. It has been going on, taking the Bible out, taking the Ten Commandments out, taking and targeting the conservatives and targeting the churches. And it's coming, and it's going to get like this. We told you not to. Yeah, I will anyway. And that's the decisions we need to make in our life. When the world says don't, when the world says stop, when life begins to hit you hard and it's too much to carry and you just are willing and wanting to give up, that's the moment you need to say, you know what? God, you need to take this. God, you need to work through me so that we can continue to share the Christ story. I'm going to tell you, it's exciting. It's catchy. And I trust that as we go through this and just study through that text again, it's amazing. The opportunities, because in that moment, the next phrase or the next section of scripture is the seven were chosen, because it got caught on, okay? So much. There were so many Christians. There were so many people hurting that no longer could the apostles take care of it all. And they said, now choose seven from among you. So it's neat to see the progression that goes on through this text. But I'm just encouraging and challenging you with that. Whenever somebody says, give up, if God's in it, don't give up. Don't give up until God says you're done. When God says you're done, okay? There's just nothing you're going to do. When God says you're done, you're done. But man, until then, we got so many good things to do, so many joyful things. There's joy and being a part of God's plan. And you got to find that joy with Christ. Don't look at us. Don't look among Christians. Don't look among the unworld. Don't look among the unsaved. You cannot find the joy of Christ by looking this way. You can only find the joy of Christ by looking that way. And when that joy comes in and you're doing things, you're having that divine time moments with God, I'm going to tell you what, it'll encourage you to keep doing what you do. Keep doing what you're doing, no matter what people think, no matter what people say. So that's my encouragement today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. And God, I pray as we continue just to ponder the truth of this tonight. Lord, it's so relevant in our day and age, in our world in which we live. And I believe it's going to get worse. Our world is not going to get better. Our world is not going to come to a huge 180 change. We can't have a reprieve. And God, you can allow us to enjoy the freedoms that we have now. But one day, those freedoms are going to go away. And one day, we're going to be with a choice of whether we're going to listen to you or we're going to listen to man. And God, when I look at and think of that, even in my own life, I am a man. We are humans. And sometimes, God, we need to listen to you instead of our own thought process. We need to listen to you instead of what we want and listen to you instead of what we think it should be. And God, I pray as we study this tonight that you'll allow each of us to just hone it into our heart and life and make it applicable to our everyday. God, we just give you the glory and the praise in your son's name. Amen.